This afternoon I may preach to you God's word as we have it summarized in Lord's Day 36 and 37 about the third commandment of God's law. And the third commandment reads, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." And concerning that commandment of the Lord, we confess as follows in Lord's Day 36 and 37. What is required in the third commandment? Answer, we are not to blaspheme or to abuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor to share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. Rather, we must use the holy name of God only with fear and reverence, so that we may rightly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in all our works, words and works. Is the blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing such a grievous sin that God is angry also with those who do not prevent and forbid it as much as they can? Answer, certainly. For no sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than the blaspheming of his name. That is why he commanded it to be punished with death. Question and answer 110. But may we swear an oath by the name of God in a godly manner? Yes, when the government demands it of its subjects or when necessity requires it, in order to maintain and promote fidelity and truth to God's glory and for our neighbor's good. Such oath-taking is based on God's word, and was therefore rightly used by saints in the Old and New Testament. May we also swear by saints or other creatures? Answer, no. A lawful oath is a calling upon God, who alone knows the heart, to bear witness to the truth and to punish me if I swear falsely. No creature is worthy of such honor. Thus far our confession. After the proclamation of God's word, let us respond by singing Psalm 145, the stanzas 1 and 5. Brothers and sisters, in and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the third commandment stresses that we need to use the name of the Lord in a proper way. Just as we safeguard the honor and reputation of our own names, so the Lord safeguards his name with the clear command, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." And the Catechism highlights a few ways in which God's name can be misused. We are not to blaspheme or abuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor to share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. And now this brief list in the Catechism is by no means complete, and yet in substance this list covers everything. For it covers things we tend to skip, like not speaking up when God's name is misused. For truth is, we all would like to forget about the serious matter because we are all at fault and we're all guilty of that transgression. We prefer not to hear the truth that being silent bystanders is as serious as sharing in the horrible sin of misusing God's name. And the gravity of this charge is reflected in question and answer 100, which reveals that God is angry also with those who do not prevent and forbid blaspheming God's name as much as they can. And that is because no sin is greater or provokes God's holy name and holy anger more than the blaspheming of his name. And this biblical insight of the Heidelberg Catechism, my brothers and sisters, is right on. When God commands us not to misuse his name, he at the same time demands that we use his name properly and that we promote it with proper use. We need to do so in our private use as well in his public use of the name of God. And so if there's one thing that the third commandment reminds us of, again, it is that everything we do or say is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of God, to whom we must give account. He hears every word we speak. He also hears our guilty silence when we do not speak up in defense of his great and holy name. And therefore, let us listen this afternoon how God commands us to use his name with reverence. And we look at it from two perspectives, how we use it in the private use, that's covered in Lord's Day 36, and how we use God's name with reverence in public use, and that is covered in Lord's Day 37. Now, we all use the name of God. As Christians, we use his name often. After all, how can we call upon our Lord in prayer if we do not use his name? So we regularly take the name of our God on our lips. Now the question is, how and with what attitude do we do that? Do you ever think about whose name it is we are using so freely when we use the name of God? And what exactly is that name we may use privately and publicly? Now, in the Bible, there are many names for God. But the best known Old Testament name is the name of Yahweh, or, as it is translated in our Bibles, the Lord in capital letters. God loves that name. It's special to him. And we learn that, for example, from Exodus 33. After the golden calf incident, Moses appeared before God to receive further instruction. And he knew that he was in the presence of the holy God. And then Moses asked, Lord, what else? That is, what other than you and your presence will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And then God promised him as his blessing because he is a God who knows Moses by name. And to this, then Moses responded with the request that God show his glory. You find that in verse 18. And God's reply was, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. Verse 19. Now think about that. Isn't that answer of the Lord amazing? Moses asked God to show his glory. And what did the Lord God do? He said, I will proclaim my name, the Lord. In other words, God's glory is in his covenant name. And we can also say that as soon as we know God's name, we get a flavor of his glory, especially revealed glory. For you see, a precious intimacy surrounds God's name. In the third commandment, become aware of this precious name by which God has spoken to reveal himself. See, God's name is holy, and that name instills and arouses awareness in us that we know who God is. His name is so well known that God doesn't even use it every time. The reference to the name in Scripture is sufficient. In fact, did you know, my brothers and sisters, that the phrase, the name of the Lord, occurs 87 times, and God speaks about my name, without mentioning the Lord, my name, 73 times in the Old Testament, almost equal. Whether it's the name of the Lord or my name, that points to the Lord. And so God's name stands for all that he is and does. And let me say it in this way then. If you know the glory of God's name, then you know him as glorious. If you call upon his name, you call upon the Lord of the covenant. And if you trust in the name of God, you trust in God himself. And so God has revealed his name, and that has a special meaning. Not only does it reveal who God is, it also reveals what he is and what he does. And therefore, when God says, "Do not misuse my name," he is telling us that he is safeguarding his glory. And he puts us on notice and says, "Use the magnificence of my name only in reverence and holy worship." We are allowed to use that name because we do not call upon him as a stranger. We're privileged to use his name as people who know him in his glorious sovereign grace, and who, as people who want to use his holy name to promote his glory. Now, you know, there are many Bible translations. Today's English version puts it like this. It translates this third commandment as follows: "Do not use my name for evil purposes, for I, the Lord your God, will punish anyone who misuses my name." But what does it mean to misuse the name of the Lord and to use his name for evil purposes? Well, it means that we empty, or that we deprive, the name of its glory and power so as to make it meaningless. That's also what the word vain means, meaningless. You know, Ecclesiastes says, all is vanity and vanity. It says all is meaningless, meaningless. So to make use of God's name in vain, or to use it to evil purposes, is to make his name meaningless, to use it of its glory and majesty. When we use the name of God simply for our own purposes, then we are hollowing out God's majesty and glory. And so if, as New Testament church, we want to get a true sense of the glory of the Lord and the name of Yahweh, we ought to speak about who God is and what he has done in light of Christ's work of redemption. For in Christ, the name of God has been revealed as the highest and most noble revelation of all time. For in and through his Son, the Lord our God, revealed himself as the Father to his children. And our Lord God has sent his Christ as the Emmanuel, God with us. And that means, my brothers and sisters, that your and my, our knowledge about God and the holiness of his name gets its full meaning and splendor in our understanding who Christ is and why he came. And why did he come? Did he come just to forgive us our sins, die for them? No, that's only part of it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ says more than once, "I came to make known the name of the Father." Jesus is the only one who was truly qualified to do so, for he and the Father are one. And therefore the word of Jesus still applies: he who has seen the Son has seen the Father. Or to say it in terms of today, let me put it this way: the one, the Christian, the believer who adores and respects and believes in Christ and his redeeming work, that person also adores and respects and believes the goodness and grace of the Father who sent the Son to be our Redeemer. And so in Christ and the work that he came to do, we see God's glory revealed to the fullest. And this ought to give us food for thought regarding the private use of the name of God. For when we use the name of God without a sense of worship, when we use his name without a sense of awe for his sovereignty and majesty, we are really draining God's name of its majesty. Using God's name without a notion of his majesty makes service to God and worship of God drab and empty. Think about it this way for a moment. If God is not someone infinitely greater than we are, If he were to be our equal, then God would not be someone special, and he would not be guarding his name so jealously. And therefore, let us remember that it was not just anyone who said, "Do not misuse my name." Now, these words were spoken by God, by the God who has revealed his greatness and glory throughout time, and especially in Jesus Christ. And the most obvious example of misusing the name is to use it in swearing or cursing. And all such usage drags God's name down to our level and subjects Almighty God to our emotional impulses. Or to give you another example, maybe that is, speaks more even to you, is this. Another example is the frivolous use of God's name. And we hear it very often when people use God's name as an exclamation or as a punctuation point, an expression of surprise. We all know as OMG. The name of God Almighty is used as little more than a punctuation mark of human speech. Just think about it. Even people who do not believe in God, they say, "Oh my God." Well, he is not their God. So why even say this? It's a misuse of the name of God. It's emptying that name of its glory and power. And we should never use it. Not in text messages either. You see, God's name is not to be used in a casual way. He doesn't permit that. And neither should the use of his name be taken lightly because of our concept of who God is. Because that concept of who God is captured in his name. I think somebody said it well. Listen carefully. He said this. If people use his name as lightly as a breath, they have forgotten the majesty of God who has given them breath. And they have forgotten the suffering of Christ who redeemed the breather. So the people who use the name as lightly as a breath, they have forgotten the majesty of God who has given them breath. And they have forgotten the suffering of Christ who redeemed the breather, us. And so the point is that if we misuse God's name, then our heart is not set on loyalty and love for God. And when the Lord God tells us not to use his name in vain, he's telling us to use the name of the Lord God soberly and solemnly. He's not saying, "Don't use my name, but don't misuse my name." We need to use God's name in a way that reflects a holy and grateful, awe-filled reverence for our Creator in both our words and in our actions. In short, we need to use God's name in a way that turns a whole life into an act of worship. And that also applies to how we use God's name publicly. And that brings us then to the second point, the public use of God's name. Now, God has given us his name to use, not to misuse. And one way in which we are to use God's name properly is, as the Catechism says, by maintaining and promoting fidelity and truth, that we do so to God's glory and for the good of our neighbor. And here, my brothers and sisters, the Catechism touches upon an important point. As God's name is being trivialized in society, more and more people consider it irrelevant to swear an oath on the Bible or by the God of the Bible. And yet, the requirement of swearing an oath has been one of the pillars of the Christian society. And therefore, even in our frivolous society, the swearing of an oath by Christians is not a meaningless formality. For you see, from a Christian perspective, swearing an oath is not only calling upon God, who alone knows the heart, but it is also at the same time a testimony to the world that we recognize God in our lives. The public oath is something of a loyalty statement in which we say, we know that God is our witness. We promise that what we say is fully according to the facts. We will speak the truth as it comes from the heart. And God knows the heart. We call on Him as the knower of hearts to be our witness. And in God we have a faithful and trustworthy witness. And therefore it is necessary that we use God's name in faith and faithfulness, or in fidelity and truth, especially in our time when people so easily twist words. Slanderous accusations, doubts and suspicions are gobbled up like hotcakes to the detriment of others. Just look at the behavior of some of our politicians in the House of Commons to get our attention. And the media shares a lot of blame for the theatrics in the House. The media capitalizes on sound bites, as they call them, but they are anything but sound when taken out of context, and they bite the person in the story. And since that is the case in day-to-day affairs, it should become clear to any one of us here how important it is to be able to call upon God as the knower of hearts when it comes to matters in which judgments need to be made and given. For anyone of us to trust the word of someone else and to safeguard that fidelity and truth, for any one of us to have that assurance, it is necessary to have recourse to the highest authority in life, and that is God. Now, a moment ago, I compared the oath to a loyalty statement. And that's not really a strange concept in life. Throughout time, people have depended on each other for loyalty and could depend on each other through loyalty. You find a striking example in the legend of King Arthur. Any knight that joined the round table swore allegiance or loyalty to King Arthur and to his vision. Well, our sovereign God, he also calls us to loyalty and fidelity. However, what God has established with us is much more powerful than those knightly vows of the Middle Ages. God has made a covenant with us of a very special kind. For you see, the Ten Commandments, they're never really called the Ten Commandments in the Bible, did you know that? They're called the Ten Words of the Covenant. God calls us into a blessed relationship with Him, and He wants our wholehearted devotion in following His commandments. But it seems, doesn't it, that so often we fail. We're tempted to cut corners of certain commandments and we want to negotiate on others. We look for allegiances and alliances in all the wrong places. But God says to us in His law, your loyalty should be with me, privately, also publicly. And so the sole reason why God in His wisdom made it possible and necessary for us to swear by the Most Holy Name is to ensure that the truth is maintained and promoted for our neighbor's good and God's glory. For what happens when we swear an oath? When we call upon God to be our witness, we admit our smallness, and we acknowledge His greatness and majesty. God is the all-knowing one and the all-seeing one. He knows what lives in our hearts and whether the words we speak are true. Sometimes, if somebody makes a statement and you have some doubt and say, well, I swear to God, even people who don't believe in God will say that. And therefore, as soon as you call upon God as our witness, We do so to his glory because we thereby acknowledge that he is the only searcher of hearts who hates every kind of misuse of his name, and he will not leave it unpunished. And that is what you and I need to hear. That is what everyone needs to know. The swearing of an oath, our calling upon God as witness, does not allow for lies and falsehood. With the third commandment, the Lord God calls our attention to the need for the proper use of his name in all areas of life. For his honor and glory are at stake. How easily and quickly we tarnish his name by not living up to the demands of his law. How easily do we misuse his name rather than use it to promote faith and faithfulness. And on that score, my brothers and sisters, all of us here are in constant need of improvement. But when we are called upon to swear an oath, we should realize that this is more than a formality. It's a very serious matter. It is calling upon God, not in the privacy of your room in prayer, but to swear an oath, you do that in the public forum, the public arena. And when we call upon the Lord, we come into his presence and we acknowledge that God will hold us accountable. And never forget that, my brothers and sisters, because all of us have sworn an oath or will swear an oath at one time or another. How, do you say? And where? Well, we swear the oath of fidelity in church. Office bearers do so when they promise to faithfully carry out their duties as elders and deacons. And we do so at weddings, when we declare before God and the witnesses that we will stay faithful to our spouse. And we do so as parents when we promise to raise our children in the fear of the Lord to the best of our ability. And we do so when we make public profession of faith and promise to live our whole life for the Lord. Now, these are just a few examples, but you realize that these oaths are of faithfulness are really oaths. Do you not? Every time you say, I do, we do so with God as our witness to the promises that we make. And we do so in the full awareness that God will hold us accountable. The Lord also said, the Lord Jesus said, let your yes be yes, your no be no. He holds us accountable. He will judge if we are not faithful in our office as elder or deacon or minister. If we are not faithful as parents in our Christian instruction of the children. Or if you do not live up to the promise made at public profession of faith, or the promise that we made to one another when we got married. And therefore, let us be careful and certain about when and to what we say, I do. It's not just a formality. So what should our course of action be like? What's the solution? Well, the solution is not in saying, well, let's not make promises anymore. That's not a solution. That's a cop-out. The solution is, let us show our loyalty to God and keep our promises. God's command is, do not misuse my name. I will not hold you guiltless. But the positive side of that commandment is that when you do use God's name correctly, and with fear and reverence, then you will experience his blessing. Because God is the knower of hearts, and he hears and knows what we say and do. And therefore, to use God's holy name wisely is to run into the safety and to run into the protection of the Almighty God. Never forget that our God is the Almighty One. And he is there as our fortress, our safety zone. Safety for all because he is the knower of hearts. He is the promoter of the truth. And he is the one who blesses faithfulness and loyalty for the good of all. For the one who makes the oath And for the one who benefits from it, it's for the good of all. Amen.